This episode of the Secret Life of Weddings podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, HitchSwitch.com. We love HitchSwitch because it takes the pain out of getting married and changing your name.
Who's got time for that?
No, ain't nobody got time for that.
No. Online instead of inline, guys.
Loving that so much. So go to HitchSwitch.com if you want to simplify the process of changing your name after I do. Be sure to use promo code SLOW10, that's S-L-O-W-10, at HitchSwitch.com to get 10% off. Hey guys, this is Lisa.
And Rebecca.
And we are here on The Secret Life of Weddings.
If you like drama, you're in the right place.
Where we tell you the world's craziest but true wedding stories. So get ready for the drama on The Secret Life of Weddings. Hey guys, it's episode 93 of The Secret Life of Weddings podcast. This is Lisa.
And Rebecca.
And we are forging new territory here. We are in a weird...
Oh, we're going to tell them.
We're going to tell them. Wait, can you turn on video? Because this is too weird for me. Hold on.
What do I do that? Oh, what just start video? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hi!
You see my llamas?
Oh my God, I do see your llamas. Guys, we're on video right now. Rebecca is in the pod at home. And this is great. You have a light. Look at that.
Oh, it's from my phone.
Oh, it's from your phone. I thought you decorated.
It's so dark in here. That's why.
It is. I know. Basically, Rebecca, she has been a trooper. She has been driving to my house for a year and a half, this poor girl. And we thought, why not set her up in her house? So we bought some extra gear. And because of, you know, people like you with Patreon supporting us, we were able to let Rebecca not drop gas money weekly and coming to my house, like spending a half an hour driving every week. So this is new for us, and I don't think it's going to be that much different.
No.
No.
I can see you.
You're right there. Hi. Exactly. You got the llamas. I've got the Secret Life of Weddings banner on the wall.
Yes.
Where did the llamas come from?
It's my daughter's blanket.
It's adorable.
She loves llamas. So I stole it and put it up around me because, you know, sound.
I know, right? Just for some extra. But I actually want it. I would like to have it to wrap around me every day.
Right? It's super cute. I got it from Simons.
Simons. Is that
Simons.
I've asked you this before, but is that like a Winners?
Sort of, but not really.
Okay.
It's not chaotic like Winners. Everything has its place, right? So it's easier to find things and whatnot. But they have so many different brands. It's kind of cool like that. So,
oh, that's amazing.
And then they have a home section, and then they have clothing. Most of it's clothing, but they have a home section too.
Tell us, American Squeams, do you have Simons?
They do, because it's an American store. I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is. Anyways, these fleece blankets with the llamas. So they always have new designs coming in. So it's really cool like that. And they have a matching mug and everything to go with it, which of course she has. But the blankets go on sale for $9.99, and then regular price is like $14.99, like stupid cheap.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah. Well, I'm definitely hitting up Simons from now on.
I love Simons.
You know. So this is The Secret Life of Weddings, where we tell you the world's craziest but true wedding stories, and also where to buy llama blankets.
Yes.
And mugs and things of that sort. So I would be remiss if I didn't immediately say, I'm so freaking sorry I didn't do this sooner, or we didn't do this sooner, but Heather.
Yes.
Heather is a Scottish squeam. And
yes.
I wish I could do that in a Scottish accent, but unless I call Tracy, I can't.
I'm not even going to try.
No?
I'll butcher the shit out of that.
Heather was an absolute doll, and she put together a care package of some Scottish food for us, which was amazing. I am not ashamed to say I ate most of it. I did let Rebecca pick and choose some stuff. You know, I let her into the box. I did. Although I do have to say my husband, Justin, was a total bad influence, and he made me open it before Rebecca came. He's like, he's like, oh no, I didn't. You did it. And I said, he kept going. So you can open it. So you get to open it. And it's like, and he claims he wasn't a bad influence, but what is that?
Yeah, that's the pure definition of a bad influence.
Thank you. But I knew you wouldn't care because I opened it. I didn't really touch anything. Actually, there was one thing I touched because there was two of them. So I was like, this will shut him up. So I got this one little wafer chocolate thing and it had caramel. It was really good. So we shared that. And I'm like, nothing else, because there was like chips in there and he starts picking through the chips. I'm like, you put that down.
Yeah.
That is for Rebecca. You put that down. Anyway, there was Haggis flavored chips. And I don't think I tried those. Justin did. He said they tasted a bit like barbecue.
Oh,
I know.
Interesting.
I know. But you know what I ate the entire bag of? There was like these steak flavored chips.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think it was called Flatiron flavor. Oh my God. I sat there, me and Justin ate the entire bag because Rebecca stupidly left us. She went through the box. She took some stuff, but she left us with like the chips and she left us with some things. And we're just like, this is a problem.
I'm trying to behave and stuff.
So good. And we are so bad. So anyway, thank you.
But
so
I did
much.
Take a bunch of the toffees.
They're good.
Holy fuck. They are the best ones I've ever had. And I'm a toffee junkie. Like, I love toffee. They're the best I ever had. So I brought them home and I put them stupidly on my counter. You know, I'll pick away at them when I feel like one. And I kid you not, they were gone within an hour.
Oh no. Was it at least you?
No.
Oh no.
My children that stole all my Scottish toffee from fucking Scotland. That could kill them.
I have more. That's the one thing we have left because Justin can't eat it because of his teeth. But I.
And now I don't see you.
I know. I was saying, I have all this toffee and you're not here. Whose fault is that?
Oh, yes.
I'll save some for you.
Yeah. They're so good. So good.
I ate all the shortbread. That was really, really good. I sat there on the couch and I was a hot fucking mess. I had just like crumbs all over my tits.
Flakes everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting there watching old episodes of Dallas. Coating my tits. Just, I had to wear high necklines through this box, eating through this box because it was cleavage food. You ever do that?
Yes.
You're just like, it's a snack for later.
I generally find it after when I'm getting my pajamas on. I'm like, oh, okay.
I actually go digging during. So yes. This is why we have video, because I'm actually demonstrating for Rebecca. I actually just go digging.
Yeah.
As it falls. And I like to
I just got so much up top that it gets completely lost in there. So.
Oh, see, mine are open enough that I actually have quite a little valley in there that catches everything. So sometimes now and then every 5 to 10 minutes, I'll just pull down my shirt with my neckline with one hand. And then I'll just kind of like flick out everything above my neckline with everything else.
There you go.
My tits, and it just gets rid of everything, cleans out, you know, makes room for more.
Okay. Do you flick out through the top or are you just letting it fall through the bottom?
Oh, I do both. So if I'm going to stand up, like if I've done this in the car is normally where if I'm going to get out of the car, I'll actually lift out my bra straight out and like open my shirt from below and kind of like whisk it out down.
Yeah. But
if I'm sitting on the couch, I go the other direction. I pull it down and then I flick it out the top, sort of like an eruption of food from my boobs. Yeah.
I'm downwards person. Yeah. So we're classy as fuck.
We are so classy. Oh man. But this is the long-winded way to say thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Heather.
For sending us food.
I immediately regret this now.
Yeah. She's like, I did not need to know that much about you.
TMI.
It's really weird to like see yourself doing the show though. Isn't it weird?
It's a little fucked up. I'm not going to lie. I don't need to see myself.
I know. I'm like, don't look above. Don't look above. Because my own like window is above Rebecca's head. So I just keep thinking, don't look up there because it's weird.
But you know what's interesting? Is that I can see your face now. Because I don't when we record.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. Like I'm not looking at your face. I'm looking at the side of your face. But I'm not looking at you like
straight on.
Straight on. Right?
Now so it's... it's almost like we're having more of a conversation in a way.
Yes. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's because we're used to doing it another way for a year and a half, right?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
But
and I'm sitting on the floor.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why didn't you put like a chair or something in there?
Because then I need a desk.
It's true.
Like, it's my desk I have is way too big. So I was like, I guess I'll just sit on the floor.
You need the IKEA one. Remember the one we found, or like a table or something like
that? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then I'm using my big Mac computer. So I was like, whatever. It's fine. I've made it cozy.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Shall we jump in?
Yeah. So we have some in the news stuff going on. So I don't know if you saw this, Lisa.
I did.
The bride-to-be urged to burn her train wreck wedding. So it got picked up by the Daily Mail, which I knew it would. Because you know what? Someone is hanging out in that shaming group and, you know, kicking all the info over to Daily Mail or someone else, because Daily Mail keeps picking this stuff up out of there. So
it's probably a reporter. Yeah. I was in the original thread. Did you see it?
I did. So here's the thing. Okay. A bride. So just so everyone knows, a bride took to the internet asking a question and followed the question with a pic of her in her wedding dress. Is anyone selling wedding shoes size 8.5 or know of a place that sells them cheap that will look good with my dress? Also, opinions on the middle of my dress. So should I put an inlay in or leave it as is? So she went on just asking for some advice and looking for shoes. And she got ripped apart.
Because this was actually not, just to be clear, the original post was not in a wedding shaming group. The original post was on Facebook. Her personal Facebook. And this got taken and put into a wedding shaming group. And everybody shit on her, essentially.
Yeah.
It's a real shame.
I get that shaming groups exist. And I understand it. And I know, like, we share stories and stuff. But
It's different.
I do find it very different. And
this is bullying, in my opinion.
You know, I think it's basically, has it become shaming just for the sake of shaming and to hell with everyone and any feelings that they may have? Like, this is where I have a problem with it. This girl hasn't even gotten married yet in her dress, and I'm sure she absolutely loves it. And I actually feel really, really bad for her right now.
Me too.
Is that she's going to see it. How can you not?
It's been picked up everywhere.
Yeah, it's been picked up. And you know what? I'm sorry. Like, I know shaming groups, I guess it's supposed to be for fun, but it's come to a point. And I recently talked to someone about this because they had sent me something. And I, you know, we can't share because we said we wouldn't share from out of the groups. And, but it's become a whole new level. Like, they're shaming everything.
I guess what we're saying is there's some things that are shameworthy legitimately, like a bride in a bikini in a mud pit getting married and then doing this or that, you know, and she's being out there. She knows, she's sharing it willingly. She's putting it out there.
She loves that she's going viral. Yeah. She's all about going viral. Yeah.
There's a difference between, say, fun shaming that and picking on someone who just wanted advice about shoes. And yeah. I feel like it's not even that bad. Like, would I pick that dress on her? No, but it's not like her boobs are spilling out everywhere and, you know, she's going to be in a mud pit or things like
that. It's all
like
inside that. Of it. I mean, I don't know.
If she puts herself
in it, then she loves herself in it.
That's all we care about. You do you, right?
I think they've definitely gone into the body shaming now. And that's sad. That's sad as women. I'm sorry, but it is. I'm going to call you out. You can shit on me all you want, people, but that's fucking sad, man.
I actually didn't think that because it's called an illusion dress, where you see the skin underneath.
Oh, is that what it's called?
I think it's called an illusion dress. I kept seeing that mentioned and I'm pretty sure that might be what it's called. But anyway, where you see a little bit of the skin in the section, I actually didn't think the illusion part was that bad.
No.
Like, just because she's not shaped like a model, it's not like you see, you know, a ton of excess skin or rolls or anything like that. Nothing. It's just a different shape in the dress.
Yeah.
Why is it that bad? And if it's she can do her, like, why is it a problem? Why is it any of your fucking business? Honestly, this is not something that she willingly shared. So I guess it's funny. We don't necessarily think that, oh, there can't be shaming groups, but maybe have a bit of ethics about it.
Yeah, a little bit. You know,
think about, would you like someone to take this photo of you and do that to you? So, yeah. I mean,
it's just like Alicia's group too, right? Bridechilla. I guess people have pulled stuff from there as well and thrown it over into the shaming group. And, you know, everyone over there is very supportive. So it's kind of, you know, that's like same thing if we did it, right? We went into a group and we stole something that we wouldn't do. So, you know,
exactly. Or if someone came into our group and took something from one of our couples or brides and put it, we'd feel so bad for them. So,
yeah. And I feel like now it's just, there's so many posts that go up in those groups, that people are just looking for anything that they can shit on. And I'm like, really, do you feel that much better about yourself today doing that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have fun with it. It's not that you can't shame anything, but you know, think before you shame. Is that fair?
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. Granted, I'm totally guilty of, you know, the boobs falling out thing, but I'm like, come on. I'm a big boob girl. I'm allowed to judge. I know.
Yeah. Fair.
Anyways, but, yeah.
Think before you shame. That's our PSA today.
Daily Mail is picking up everything out of there, just so you guys know, even your comments. So I don't know, tread carefully, people, because I've seen people lose their jobs over shit like that. Like, you got to be careful.
That's all it takes.
Yep. So Tiffany in our group shared a photo in our group. The shower puff girls, I called them.
Yes.
And it was just this whole comment on how it truly solves all bridesmaid dress issues, which I found so funny because, I mean, it really does.
Can you please describe for the listeners what it was? So it's in our Fans of Secret Life of Weddings group on Facebook.
Yeah. So it looks like, yeah. So go to our group and join our group to see it. But it's these women in these very poofy. They look like shower puffs, you know, the shower puffs you wash your body with. So I don't know. It was just a comment how, you know, that, cause you know, everyone, oh, my body, my butt, my waist, my hips, my, you know, everyone, my arms complaining about their body types. And this kind of solves the whole issue. So you never have to complain. But anyways, I just thought it was a funny little,
I can't fault it.
No, it's funny. I like it.
Logic is there.
I mean, I'm curious, are these legit dresses? I guess.
They all look very serious in the model photo, if I recall.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know. Our other thing is from slate.com. Help, we can't afford our wedding anymore. Should we disinvite guests?
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah, my fiance and I are getting married this summer and have a wedding budget of $30,000 for 175 guests, which is below average for our state. And we live in the largest metropolitan area. My father is a stingy multimillionaire who has refused to provide more than $7,500 because he thinks on principle that each parent should pay for a quarter of the wedding. My mom is a public servant who took an entry-level job following their divorce, and my fiance's parents are also in solidly middle class jobs. My mom has found the money. My fiance's parents are still trying. We can afford to put in some money ourselves, but it would be a sizable chunk of the money we are saving to buy a home. What do we do here? Should we disinvite people? Should we just cancel the wedding and elope? We would lose about $5,000 in deposits. Should we put in the money ourselves and refuse to do father-daughter things like walking down the aisle, first dance, etc.? I am really angry with my dad for his inflexibility and stinginess. I am also angry with myself and my fiance for proceeding with the wedding the size we want, even though we have been fairly frugal in our other choices when finances were unclear.
So you want my opinion?
Say you.
Okay. What the fuck? Why are you planning a wedding in the first place that you can't afford? How is it that I have a feeling that the multimillionaire dad didn't say, go ape shit, go crazy, I'll pick it up, and then turn around and go, no, you're only getting $7,500. Bullshit. He said from the beginning, I'm only giving you this. You went ahead, planned a wedding you couldn't afford, and then you're hoping that he'll step in and save your ass. And now that he's not stepping in and saving your ass, you're like, oh, am I going to disinvite people? Don't. You're a dick if you do.
Yeah. I want to know how they arrived at a $30,000 budget for 175 guests when they didn't have any of the money.
Thank you.
Like,
that also seems low for that amount of guests.
Fuck yeah. Oh my God.
Typically. I mean, they
say that was like my wedding 20 years ago. Like, no, what are you talking about? That's insane.
Yeah. Disagree. But, do not like button.
Yeah.
No, you don't. So what do they do? Yeah. You have to cut. You can't disinvite people. That's the last thing. You're not coming. That's the last thing you can do. You have to just cut down. I would just choke it. Just bite the bullet, put the money up yourself. It's your fault. Nobody else's. And you don't punish your dad for that. I mean, so it's bullshit because they clearly planned this wedding and now they're like, oh, I don't want to put the money in and let's punish dad for it. But he never made a promise. So I'm not saying it's great that he's a multimillionaire and is being stingy, but it's not his fucking fault. You need to just bite the bullet, invite everyone, pay for it your damn selves, because it was your fault that you planned the wedding without his permission for the money. And don't take away the father-daughter dance just because you made a mistake.
Yeah. Just because someone has money doesn't mean they have to give it to you.
Exactly.
It's family. It's true though. No, nowhere does it say you have to support your kids.
They're not obligated.
No.
Who are you to say that?
Exactly.
It's bullshit.
Anyways, I found that quite interesting.
It is quite interesting. Bullshit is what it is. So here we have a listener story from Caitlin. So this story takes place on the night before my wedding. Feel free to use my name. And I've already changed all other names. Caitlin's very considerate. This story starts at the rehearsal dinner. My venue had two separate bars and only the main one was open for the rehearsal. One of the groomsmen, Jake, decided to go upstairs to the second closed bar, grabbed a bottle of Jack and some shot glasses with the intention of delivering shots to the wedding party. I was not made aware of this until the next day when the owner of the venue let my now husband, Gavin, know that he did not appreciate Jake stealing the bottle. I guess a bartender had caught him in the act and yelled at him. Gavin apologized profusely, and luckily the owner is awesome and wasn't angry with us. After the rehearsal dinner, we were blissfully unaware that any drama had happened and decided to go to a place nearby that had bowling, laser tag, pool tables, etc., with some of our bridal party, including Jake. We had a few drinks and tried to end the night early-ish because, you know, we had something important to do the next day. Of course, Jake had ended up having a little too much to drink. Gavin and two of his other groomsmen, Chris and Kevin, tried to convince Jake that he was too drunk to drive back to the hotel. Uh-oh. The plan had been for Jake to drive Chris and Kevin and Gavin, and I would go back to our place. Everyone else had left by this point. Jake was in the driver's seat of his car with all the doors locked. Uh-oh. And Gavin was halfway through the passenger side window trying to talk some sense into Jake. I was getting super pissed at this point. It was midnight and it was a cold and rainy night. And we were standing around a parking lot trying to convince a drunk guy he can't drive. Good for you, first of all.
Yeah.
If you have ever had to reason with a drunk person, you probably know how this was going. They are the fucking worst. They are the worst. It's ironic. The decision making in a drunk person is shocking. All of a sudden, Gavin jumps backwards. And Jake speeds off. Oh, shit. He does a lap around the parking lot and comes back to where we're standing, rolls his window down and shouts at us that he's totally sober and we're all overreacting. Gavin is getting angry at this point and he, Chris, and Kevin try one last time to reason with him. Jake speeds off again and we lose sight of him.
Oh, man.
This is bad. Now, Gavin's mom works at the hotel our guests are staying at. If any shit goes down and she hears about it, we're the ones who will get bitched at. We had to swear up and down that none of our friends would cause a scene or do anything stupid just to get her to let us book a block of rooms. It's like she knows them or something, right?
Yeah.
Gavin and I now have to drive Chris and Kevin to the hotel before we can even go home. on top of being worried about Jake causing a wreck while driving, we now have to worry that his drunk ass will cause a scene in the hotel and word will get back to Gavin's mom. We finally get to the hotel and we see Jake's car parked in a clearly no parking zone with one side perched up on a curb that was dangerously close to a steep hill down into another parking lot.
Oh my God.
This is bad. This is so bad. Gavin, who is usually super chill, is pissed at this point and proceeds to call Jake in order to get him to move his car or it would be towed away by morning. Of course, Jake wasn't answering calls, so Gavin texts him multiple times to come and move his damn car. The four of us sit in my car watching for Jake. About 10 minutes later, he storms out of the hotel and is screaming and cursing at us, gets in the car, and drives off to park it in an actual parking space. By this time, it's 1 a.m. on the night before our wedding, and we're both angry at Jake for stressing us out that he will be so mad or hungover that he won't show up to the wedding. I spent the night before my wedding trying to prevent a drunk idiot from getting into any trouble and worrying that we will be down in groomsmen. Luckily, Jake showed up as scheduled and acted like nothing had happened. What a dick.
Oh my God.
To top all of that off, Jake had been given the wrong vest and tie by the rental place. Oh, so he matched my husband while all the other groomsmen matched. That's so fucked up. Later, we're going to tell you about a way to avoid that. I'm just saying. Perfect.
Look how that ties in.
It's amazing. In the end, I don't think my husband's mom ever found out. Nobody got in trouble and nobody died. Thank God. My husband and I had the wedding of our dreams and have now been married for almost 6 months. We are still friends with Jake and see him every few months as he lives in another state. Oh, girl.
Oh. Note to self, guys, don't be Jake.
That was stressful. That was like, drunk people are the worst.
Yeah. They're a real pain in the ass, I tell you. I don't know. That's crazy.
As a podcaster just starting out or a seasoned pro, your priority is making sure your listeners can hear your content loud and clear. This means the quality of your audio input recording device is of utmost importance. You'd also benefit from minimal setup time and simple operation so that you can focus on getting on with doing what you love, podcasting. Focusrite makes the world's best-selling range of USB audio interfaces. Scarlett, providing a wide range of input-output options focusing on how many microphones you need to record, all at an affordable price. A step up in sound and production quality, the Claret USB range of interfaces provide superb sound and low noise with a design that guarantees clean, open, transparent sound, giving accurate representation of your original performance. Both Scarlett and Claret USB ranges operate on PC and Mac and are compatible with the software you already use. By choosing a Focusrite audio interface, you are guaranteed best-in-class audio quality hardware that is easy to set up and use. But if you get stuck, Focusrite has award-winning technical support standing by to help you get back up and running. When we started the Secret Life of Weddings podcast, we chose to work with the Scarlett 2i2 audio interface. It was affordable and incredibly easy to use. We absolutely love the audio quality and would definitely buy it again. To learn more, visit focusrite.com.
Well, we have another listener story.
Awesome.
A Game of Thrones-esque wedding.
Okay, I know why you put this in. Okay, guys. Oh my God, Rebecca has become fucking obsessed with Game of Thrones.
I have. I'm on season 5.
Woo. I need to give this another go because you are way too fucking excited.
You don't understand. I am so obsessed. I can't even. I watched 4 episodes last night.
Can I ask how quickly you were able to get into it?
I was into it from the first episode.
Really? Okay. So if I give it episode 1, I should be fairly into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then by episode 2 and 3, I was like completely hooked because I realized very quickly that stuff happens in every single episode. And that's why there's only 10 episodes a season. Because there's so much drama. There's so much content in every episode.
I bought the book. I tried to read the book. I couldn't get into it. But
apparently the book is way more detailed and a lot more happens.
Yeah. It's not up my alley that way. I believe people. I really do. I believe people that it's amazing, but the one time I tried to watch it, it was a download And there was no subtitles and I couldn't understand a word. So I was like, you know what? I need to watch. I watch everything with subtitles. That's just something my husband and I do. It helps us because I don't know. We like reading it. It's so weird. I never did this before I met my husband, but now I do it. Drives my mom nuts.
That would drive me crazy.
But I need it or else I couldn't watch it. I couldn't understand what they were saying with the accent. And I guess it was a bit quiet or this or that, but yeah. So I'm going to try it again. Now that we have it, I think we have it on Crave. I think so.
Yes, it's on Crave.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it another go with some subtitles. That's where you watch it. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to catch up to you eventually.
That's so good.
What season are they on now? Like 9 or something?
8. And it's the last one.
8. Okay. All right. Well,
and
so
5.
You're on 5. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is
really, really, you know, embarrassing to say because it hasn't been that long.
That is quick, girl.
Yes, I know. I know.
That's okay. I'm binging Mad Men right now. I'm almost at the end. So
I might go watch Mad Men again.
It's so good.
I love Mad Men.
It was so good. And once I knew the characters and had watched it once, it was so much better watching it again the second time because pick up so much more.
I like that when you can pick up more from a show watching it again.
I bet Game of Thrones will be like that for you eventually.
Probably, because I find that there's points where I rewind because I'm like, wait, what? That I didn't understand, but I didn't catch it. So, you know, I'll catch myself not catching stuff. So anyways.
See, this is why subtitles help.
I can't do subtitles. It's too distracting.
I'm just saying. So okay. This Game of Thrones wedding, what's the story with that?
Yes. Hey ladies, I found this podcast a few weeks ago and have been binging it religiously since then. Oh. I have laughed so much while listening. So thank you for that. I'm not even sure where to start, but here we go.
Jump in, baby.
I was invited to a wedding by my boyfriend's now fiance, second cousin, the bride, a few years back. I had not met either the groom or the bride, and my boyfriend hadn't been in touch with that side of the family either, but we thought it would be a nice little trip. The wedding was a good 5-hour drive away, and we had booked a room at a hotel near the venue so we wouldn't have to drive back after the wedding. Smart. Mm-hmm. The ceremony was due to start around 2 p.m., so we thought we'd drive there the same morning. That's a long drive for the same day, I'm not gonna lie. We were packed and ready to go at 8 a.m. sharp. Since we wanted to book some time for bathroom stops and maybe grab a breakfast somewhere on the way. A few hours into our journey, we got a flat tire. We had to wait for a few hours to get it fixed since we were literally in the middle of nowhere and obviously we didn't have a spare tire with us. My boyfriend called up one of his relatives who was also attending the wedding and informed them that we just go to the hotel to check ourselves in and then come to the reception and just skip the ceremony altogether. We arrived at the reception around the same time as the other guests were arriving. The venue was this amazing old manor. We oohed and awed at the venue and helped ourselves to some drinks and cocktail snacks. At this point, I still had not seen the bride or the groom. This comes into play a little bit later. I have a tiny bladder, so after that one drink, I wandered off to find a bathroom. The manor was quite the maze, and I peeked into a few rooms to find a bathroom. The doors all looked the same, and there was no signs for bathrooms. Behind one door, I see this fancy sitting room, and right there against a wall, there was a guy doing questionable things with a woman.
Nice.
They were making out, and he had his hand between her legs, and she was moaning so loud, I was surprised. I didn't hear it before opening the door. I obviously
That's
got
kind of hot. Is that wrong?
Yeah. Oh, you're going to regret saying that.
Oh, no. What? Not like grammar or something, is it? Because that would be very bad.
I obviously got flustered and quickly closed the door and hurried off. Do not look at your phone. I want you to.
I'm not.
Okay. Not sure if they even noticed me. I giggled to myself how weddings got people into the mood, apparently. This is so true, as we know. After finally finding a bathroom.
Do you know?
No, like, because we've heard stories.
I'm just screwing with you.
After finally finding a bathroom and getting back to my boyfriend, the bride and groom were doing their rounds and greeting everyone. Once the couple gets to us, I realized the man I just saw was definitely the groom. However, the girl he had been with had not been the bride.
She wasn't wearing a wedding dress. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I was now completely mortified by what I had seen. And this isn't even the most shocking part. Oh. Later on, when we were having dinner, it was time for a best man and maid of honor speeches. As I stared at the maid of honor, I realized that was the girl I had seen with the groom.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
And then she goes to open her mouth and announces how it's an honor to welcome the bride as her official sister now that she is part of their family.
Oh, my God. Wait. Turns out, no.
The maid of honor was the sister of the groom and also the best friend of the bride.
Shut up. Shut up. Oh my God. So much wrong with this. I'm screaming.
Let me tell you, you guys would love to see our video right now. We're both freaking out.
Okay, you know what? Oh my God.
My jaw dropped to the floor at the realization. I didn't know if I should tell someone what I had seen or just kept my mouth shut. Later that evening, the groom's mother told us how it was one of the best days of her life. Her son was now married and that she had just found out that she was to become a grandmother. Her daughter was pregnant. I just lost it at that point and begged my boyfriend to just take me away from there. And as we drove off, I told him everything that had happened. We just thought we'd never talk about this again and not get ourselves involved.
But then she heard The Secret Life of Weddings and is like, nope, talking about it again.
A few months later, we found out the newlyweds were filing for a divorce. The bride, who is absolutely lovely, by the way, had now found herself a new boyfriend and they are expecting their first child. Yeah, so that's my story of how I found the groom and his sister had an affair. So gross.
Ah! Oh, that's a crazy story. Oh my God. Wow.
So bad. So bad.
So bad. So why do we call this Game of Thrones-esque? Is this the shit that happens on Game of Thrones?
Yes. There's a tie-in and you're going to see it within the first few episodes. You're going to be like, oh my fucking God.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right?
Ah.
Right? Ew. Ew.
So much wrong with that.
I am not down with that shit.
That was a great story. Thank you. I assume we can't say the name. So thank you, listener, for that, because holy shit, that was great.
I think that's our cringiest story ever.
That might be our cringiest
thing. And like, it didn't come from online. It came from someone.
Thank you for that amazingness. You are a queen or king or whoever you are that wrote that. Holy shit, you're amazing. I love it. I love it.
I don't even care if it's not real. I don't care.
I don't care at this point.
I'm just kidding. It matters.
It totally matters. Oh my God. Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This actually is recording our video. So I'm going to put that in our Patreon.
Nice.
So you can watch our faces react to that. So I'll put it on our $5 level because we haven't put any video in there for a little while. So if you guys want to see our reactions to that, support the show a little bit, we really appreciate it a lot. Holy shit, that was the greatest ever.
Right?
I'm all jazzed now.
Yeah.
So
where do we go from there, Lisa?
Where do we even go from here? I can't even fucking talk. Oh, bleh. So
I need to send her something.
Oh,
sending that story in. I need to send her one of our masks.
Oh, send her a sleep mask immediately. We're not worthy, you know?
Oh my God.
Right? We're not worthy on the other side. It's perfect.
No.
So coming up next, we actually have this amazing dude who his name is Nathan. He is part of a company called Generation Tux, which we hadn't heard of. So he actually told us about it and we're legit.
It's the coolest fucking thing.
We're legit impressed with them. They essentially, like, he'll give the download, but basically they provide tuxes for your wedding party via the mail. Okay. So you do it all online. You put in the measurements, all that stuff. pick the suits, which are all really modern and beautiful. They're not like the refrigerator box, as he put it, that the guys have to wear.
It's and true.
They are awesome. They get delivered 2 weeks before the wedding. You can send shit back. It's amazing. They are going to do a 10% discount for our listeners if you go to generationtux.com/secret. Okay. You'll get 10% off generationtux.com/secret. He has got some bachelor party stories for us. He went to a bit of a crazy one in Niagara, or I would say NOLA is Niagara on the Lake. It's not. It's not.
New. I always want to say that though. I'm not
Thank
joking.
You.
Yeah.
That's the Canadian in us. The NOLA, it's like, and Niagara on the Lake is similar. But anyway, it's New Orleans. Okay. So
what's the A?
Louisiana. New Orleans, Louisiana. So I guess it's nearby. So NOLA is the area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was saying, I just want NOLA. It's actually perfect. So here is Nathan. He's going to tell us his crazy stories and a little bit more about Generation Tux. So we are here with Nathan from Generation Tux. Welcome, Nathan.
Hi, how are y'all?
Oh, we love when you say y'all, being Canadian.
Oh, yes. I forget. I am a Southern guy.
He is. Although I've adopted it. I've decided I'm using it.
Well, you can definitely use it. No worries there.
So Nathan is from Generation Tux, and we want to know a little bit about Generation Tux. And then you've got some juicy stories for us, which really is why we're all here. So tell us a little bit about Generation Tux.
Yeah. So Generation Tux, we've been around for right about 5 years now. We are an online suit and tuxedo rental company for couples. Essentially, what we do is provide the couples that are getting married a solution where they can style their looks online. We do free swatches to the door for color matching, free home try-on for the guys there at home. And then what we do, instead of having to pick up the suit or tux the day before the wedding, which is extremely stressful, we put it on the doorstep of all the members of the party, no matter where they are in the U.S., 14 days before the wedding. So that way there's less stress for the bridegroom or couples approaching their wedding day.
That's amazing. That's like, that takes kind of half the stress out of the day before the wedding, where you have to go pick it up and you're running around like crazy. And
you got dinner that night, you know, and everybody and their dog is coming in town, and rest assured, there's going to be a call from some guy that's going to say like, oh, you know, I missed my flight and I didn't pick up the suit yet. And there's always that one guy.
Always.
Yeah.
He's usually named Josh, and he just hasn't. He just hasn't done it. He had one job and
that's it. And at the end of the day, that's probably the biggest problem that we all face, is that guys are guys. We do what we do.
No offense, Nathan, but you know, you got some stuff to answer to. It's on the reg
for sure.
So what happens if like they get the suit like 2 weeks before and there's a size issue or something like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, occasionally, especially during football season, you get guys that sit on the couch a little bit, maybe pack on a few extra pounds. And so what we do, that's the reason why we send it early. If there's any fit issues whatsoever, let's say that jacket's a little tight or what have you, you just call us and we expedite a fit replacement at no cost. There's not any returns. You don't have to get it altered or anything like that. We just ship it directly to you. And when it's all said and done, you put everything back in the box. I don't care if you end up with 3 jackets and 4 pairs of pants. You just put it all back in the box that it came in, and there's a prepaid label that comes with it. Slap it on the box and drop it off at your local UPS.
Okay, the lazy person in me really appreciates this a lot.
Oh, it's
amazing. This is amazing, especially because, you know, as photographers, we know I walk into groom prep and they're getting ready and there's some buttons missing or this or that missing, and they just picked it up. So there's no time to go back and figure it all out. So that's perfect. Right.
I'm 38. I've been in a number of weddings. You know, we all go through our mid-20s where we're just, our summers are ruined, you know, because we're always at a wedding. And yeah, I mean, that's the reason why we started this whole thing, you know, and it's what we're trying to do is make it easier on everybody in the party, you know, and yeah, you're right. Inevitably there's always some sort of issue. And the thing that I hate the most, you know, about whenever I was, you know, again, in my mid-20s, is the styles were just, you know, you're sitting there wearing a refrigerator box that's made of polyester, and you know, it's not sure. good. So we completely reinvented it. It's you know, we have modern and slim sizing, and it's all 100% wool, very lightweight, just very well made. Very well made. So
that's amazing. So tell us a little bit about your crazy wedding story. What you got? What you got for us?
Well, I guess, like, you know, we were originally kind of looking at doing this. We were talking about bachelor party stories, you know.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I went to school in North Texas, which is north of Dallas. You know, basically we'd finish our first semester and there in fall, and we'd all go to New Orleans. Our football team wasn't the greatest, but we always seemed to do well in our conference. And the time I was there, we would play in the New Orleans Bowl. Basically, we would go to New Orleans at the end of our first semester. I mean, it was, you know, basically a way to celebrate. And so our buddy is getting married, and it's been, we've been out of college for a few years, and we're all kind of starting our careers and stuff. And he wants to go back to New Orleans for his bachelor party.
I just want NOLA, right, Rebecca? That's like a, yeah. that's a longstanding inside joke. There was this girl who just was like, for the bachelor party, she's like, I just want NOLA. I just want NOLA.
Well, have you guys been?
No.
Okay. Well,
Rebecca, have you?
No, I haven't.
All right. You got to go. First of all, great town, tons of fun, great food, zero complaints. But here we are again, thinking that we're 21 again or something like that. And we decided we're all going to go to New Orleans for like 3 nights, which is about one night too many, to be quite honest. But we all arrive at the same time, and we're getting there, and we're all hugging and everything like that. We decide, you know, what's the best way to get to the hotel, and we're staying right on Bourbon Street, which is where everything is. We basically decide we're going to get a limo, so we get a limo to the hotel because that's really the cheapest way to do it. We're all in this old 1980s limo. So it was pretty fun. And so we get there and we're all going out. We're having a great time. And that night is just kind of, you know, a little bit of, well, I guess we can call it a shit show. Just a little bit of a blur. But next morning we're waking up and we're splitting a room with a couple of guys. And we have that one guy in the room that he's the one that like gets up and like does like 4 miles in the morning, like no matter what.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, you know, doing push-ups, and it's probably 9 a.m. and I'm in full struggle mode. I mean, it's bad.
He's grunting in the corner. And
well, he like hops up and he just like starts going, you know, we're missing it, man. You know, like we're missing it. Everybody's out there. Everybody's having a good time right now. You know, and like we're missing it. Get up, get up. Mm. And I'm sitting there. I'm just like, there's no way anybody is anywhere right now. I can 100% positive on that. And so he starts doing a little bit of a morning routine and throws some vitamins in his mouth and goes to take a little swig of something and just throws up everywhere. It's absolutely like ridiculous. I'm sitting here watching this, like this guy is no way he's doing this. And yeah, he ends up basically vomiting all over himself. And that was the great start to the day, I would say. And, throughout the day, I mean, you know, it just kind of continued from there. You know, the problem with New Orleans is there's casinos and lots of drinking, and you can drink on the streets, and you can pretty much drink anywhere.
This sounds like Vegas to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, you know, and a lot of out of towners and stuff like that. And so one of the things they have there too is an absinthe lounge.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys had absinthe before.
I have. Rebecca, yeah.
No, I haven't.
No.
There's no way to really explain it. It just kind of kicks things up a notch in a weird way, I guess would probably be the best way to describe it. And so we started our night off like that, you know, and we ended up all getting like split up, you know, but we're sitting there probably like 2 a.m. in the morning. I'm with one of my good friends, which I'm redacting names here too. because he's, you know, he's the same guy that earlier that night we were in a strip club and he tells me how much he has in common with this stripper. He says, "Hey man, you won't believe how much we have in common." And I'm like, "Oh my God, dude, this is."
So you're telling me a woman who is naked for money at this very moment conveniently has so much. Oh my God, me too.
Yes. Oh,
me too. Surprising.
Well, we go to get something to eat because we're wanting something to munch on, and we're at this little, like, I think it was almost like a food truck thing, and they have these pictures of like the food, you know, and there's these corn dogs, and in the picture he's like looking at me, he's like, I want some of those corn dogs. And
I don't know why that's funny to me, but
and so I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna go over here. I'll meet you back in the room in like 15 minutes. So I go up to the room, and here he comes in, and he's got 6 bags of corn dogs, and he's got 30 corn dogs, right?
Wow.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what are you doing? He said, well, I looked in the picture, and I thought they were mini corn dogs. And so our room smelled like corn dogs for like 2 days, you know. I think, you know,
oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
is that weird that I'd kind of be down with that?
I mean, you know, anything worth doing is worth doing aggressively, if you ask me.
I agree.
We got to the limit. But, I remember that night, we're sitting there, and there's some rerun of Lil Wayne getting interviewed by Katie Couric, you know, and he's, and like, it's still to this day, like the thing we'll all say to each other is like, at some point in that interview, he's like, I'm a gangster, Miss Katie. And I was like, so it still sticks in our head. And anyway, you fast forward, and we're flying back. And I got to tell you, like, that is by far the worst airport ride I've ever been on, or actually the worst trip home I've ever been on. I've never felt, I'm laying on there. So in the airport, it's a tile floor, and I'm literally, there's nowhere to sit. There's no, and I'm laying on the floor, like, just to feel the coolness on me. And there are people getting off the flight coming into New Orleans, stepping over me and my buddy, like, and there were zero cares given on any of it. Like, did not care. I thought that was it. I thought for sure, I was going to die. Like, that was there's no way I'm going to make it home. But yeah, no, I highly recommend New Orleans.
In spite of all of that, it's awesome.
Because, you know, you sit there, and I think this is what a lot of this and what you guys are doing is so great. It's like, this is like everything in life, like, is about trying to make memories, you know? And like, I can sit there, and I can't remember a lot of what happened because of the amount of just, you know, drinking that we were doing. But I know everybody that was there, and I know, like, I shared like a great time with each one of them. Like, and that's really what all this comes down to, you know? And so, not to get all sentimental, I won't cry.
But,
you know, it's hard though, whenever you get older. Again, you know, I'm 38. And so, you know, I don't get to see those guys that much anymore, you know, and everybody kind of moves on and stuff. And so I think it's important that everybody just, you know, takes their wedding process, and make sure they have fun with it, you know? And I think you guys are helping to do that.
Oh, thank you.
There you know, there you go. So yeah. Do you guys have any great stories?
Rebecca, do you have anything, along those lines this week?
Well, we have someone that, you know, is giving us audio stories that we're going to be playing for sure. But
little teaser.
I'm trying to incriminate you guys. I'm trying to.
Good luck. Good yeah. luck.
Other than not remembering my bachelorette and being carried out by a bouncer. Nope. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Rebecca told this, on a previous episode, but just for fun, give Nathan a little best of Rebecca. Like,
well, I decided that my 5-foot friend could not drink me under the table with tequila. Mm-hmm. The moment we stepped into the bar, we had just arrived. And I spent the rest of the night in the bathroom on the floor. I remember a bouncer picking me up and carrying me out to the limo. Okay. And my friends tying a plastic bag around my head so I wouldn't throw up in the limo and they wouldn't lose their deposit. And almost suffocating in my own vomit. It was awesome.
Oh my gosh. I think that's like one of the first things you learn about plastic bags. Like, right? Don't put them on your head.
Right. So don't get a bunch of girls drunk and in a limo and, you know, make this up.
It's funny, tie a plastic bag. And then the second thing you learn is don't barf in it at the same time.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Part two after tequila in a moving limo. I'm telling you.
Tequila, though, man, it will do it. You know,
yes.
It's funny, like the level of problem solving, like that happens whenever you've had, especially when you're with a group of people that, you know, for the most part during the day are intelligent, you know, but the problem solving skills, like, was that a MacGyver moment? They're like, I know what we'll do. Like, we're going to put a plastic
bag on my head. Completely. And they were so proud of themselves. Yes, because she threw up. So it worked, but we probably could have killed her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's that sounds like your own shit show.
Yeah.
100%. Now, listen, I want to be able to tell our squeams, who are our listeners, where they can get, I guess, in bed with Generation Talks, where they can sign up and where they can learn more. Yeah. So what's your website and details, social media?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So again, it's generationtux.com. You know, I recommend just clicking on the collections, even if there's a suit that you love, and then kind of engaging with us from there. We all are stateside service as well. So if you ever have any questions, you'll talk to someone in Kentucky. So, yeah, no worries there.
And be sure to tell them you heard about them on The Secret Life of Weddings, so they'll come and buy lots of ads with us.
Oh, show. Oh, yes. Yes.
Thank you so much, Nathan. It was such a pleasure. And honestly, the service and everything sounds amazing. So I really hope it helps a lot of our listeners out.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, guys. Had a blast.
So Nathan was hilarious. We are absolutely loving him right now.
I love him.
He was the best.
He's adorable.
That also, my hero is sort of that guy who was like, let's fucking do this, bro. And to like takes a bunch of vitamins and just barfs all over himself.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know, he's a bro. Like,
yeah,
you know,
he's got this.
If you want 10% off and you want to take the headache away from actually dealing with your tuxes and everything for the wedding, go to generationtux.com/secret.
Promo code It's a Secret for 10% off.
There are our friends there. They are amazing. And be sure to use that URL because it tells them that, oh, you heard about them on our show and it helps support our show. You get something, we get support from you for free. It's all amazing. So do it. Yeah. Do it, do it, do it. GenerationTux.com/secret for 10% off.
Promo code It's a Secret for 10% off.
All right. We want to say thank you to our new patrons this week. They went to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to get more drama for their llamas. It is Sean H. and Robert T. Thank you so much for your support. We cannot say thank you enough. It's because of people like Sean and Robert that Rebecca didn't have to come to my house today. Although I miss you a little bit.
Like, aww,
just a little bit.
I get to see your face.
I know, I do get to see you. So this is fine, but it's like a long distance relationship. I'm allowed to miss you just that 5%.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Not just because you bring me Starbucks. That's not the reason. I promise you. So
it's the reason.
It's not, reason. You're such a liar. It's not the reason. So last up here, we have Double D's and we're on divorce this week.
Yeah, because why not?
Because why not? This is from the Huffington Post. One of my clients had a chemical peel. Uh-oh. But you know it's going to be bad. Like I almost don't have to read the story at that point. One of my clients had a chemical peel before her deposition so she could look good in front of her husband. Instead, her skin turned bright red and began falling off her face during the meeting. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. That's so sucks. Don't do that.
That's really bad. Next.
Those need like a couple of weeks to heal, those things.
Yeah. I'm just never, I have sensitive skin too. So I think I'm just never doing it.
Yeah. Well, look at my facial went, how red I was from a facial. Yeah,
that was poor. next story. When I started practicing, I guess as an attorney, I had a contested custody case. To me, my client looked like Laura Ingalls Wilder and seemed the part. Who is that? I know the name.
Little House on the Prairie.
If I saw her face, I'd probably know her.
Yeah. The never braids. Watched.
Yeah. Okay. I never watched it, but I am aware for sure. I'll look at your face. Look at your face. I didn't like, it never looked, I was a bit young. Don't forget. I was a bit young for it. So, imagine my dismay when on cross-examination, the husband's attorney starts shaking a videotape in her direction, shouting, "And isn't it true that this videotape made for commercial distribution depicts you having sexual intercourse with a chainsaw?" Oh, wow. That hurts.
Yeah. Ouch.
My jaw dropped. My face turned ashen and the room started to spin. The judge, knowing I was just a baby lawyer and sensing, oh my God, baby lawyer. It's like a tiny baby in a suit. I'm pretty sure that's a movie Jill watched the other day. Baby lawyer.
Yes.
I was just a baby lawyer and sensing I didn't deserve to be pummeled publicly like this, dropped his gavel onto the bench with a bang, calling recess. I'll see counsel in chambers. We settled that case. Wow.
Right?
Bravo. Very nice.
I would like to interview this woman and ask her how she fit a chainsaw upper.
No kidding. there's so much wrong with that. I'm so uncomfortable.
It's like rigid and like, I don't know.
This episode has left me giddy, excited, slightly nauseous, and cringed everywhere. All the cringe. Yeah. All the cringe. Oh my gosh. Thank you. I'm so squeaming over here. I'm squeaming. That's what just squeaming. It's a verb now.
There you go.
In case you didn't know that. Big thank you to Charlotte Solomon for producing the show. You are the best. Also, guys, don't forget, go to shopsecretlifeofweddings.com for all your bachelorette party, wedding party stuff, your gear for the parties, your balloons, your tattoos. And the best is we got our ring boxes in and holy crap, they're gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
They are so pretty. They're so soft. Like I can't even, they're beautiful. So they're these beautiful gray ring boxes. You got to see them. They're beautiful. They're $24.99 plus shipping. And they're everything. They are everything. So shop secretlifeofweddings.com to check out the Velvet Couture ring boxes. You have to see them. You have to. Okay.
Yes.
And Rebecca?
Anything can happen at weddings.
And we will be here to tell you all about it.
Well, that's it for us this week on the Secret Life of Weddings podcast. If you need more drama in your life, go over to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to sign up for additional weekly episodes. The first few episodes are free, so go check it out, patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings, and we will see you here next week.